On today's weekend edition of Truth Matters with Dr. Cheryl Davis, we take a quick look back on Lessons 1 and 2 in the Revelation series. In Lesson 1, Dr. Davis shares a synopsis of the book, beginning with the seven churches and concluding with the return of Jesus. Here's Dr. Davis in Lesson 1.
If you've listened to the last episode, I went through an overview of prophecy, just in general, over some concepts of prophecy as really, prophecy is sometimes difficult to understand, but we're trying to simplify it as easily as we can. We ask a couple questions as far as how do we know that Jesus has come back, is coming back. If you look around today, if you ask 10 people walking on the street, what's the most common book that you're reading right now in the Bible? It may not necessarily be the book of Revelation, or it may not be the Bible itself. Some, you know, in general, there's not an interest in reading the Bible or particularly the book of Revelation.
Some may shy away from reading the book of Revelation because they may think it's only a book of doom, gloom, and destruction, when in fact, it's a book of hope for the church, a promise of salvation for Israel, and the restoration of God's creation of heaven and earth. While symbolism may be confusing to some, understanding the symbolism helps one to understand the life-giving message of Jesus. Here's Dr. Davis in lesson number 2 and the revealing of the Ancient of Days, the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
In verse 1, Revelation comes from the Greek word apokalypsis or apocalypse. Apocalypse means an uncovering or an unveiling, setting forth or a manifestation of. Revelation is the uncovering of Jesus Christ. As we have said before, is a messianic book. Jesus is the Messiah, is an uncovering of Jesus Christ. The primary focus of the book of Revelation is to unveil the Lord Jesus Christ in his role as coming king over all the earth. I'm going to say that one more time, as this is an important point. The primary focus of the book of Revelation is to unveil the Lord Jesus Christ in his role as coming king over all the earth. In verse 1, it says, to show his servants things which must shortly take place. Shortly comes from the word takos, which we get our word tachometer, something that will happen quickly as in a succession of events once they begin to unfold. Moving on to verse 2. Who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. This was sent from God to John via his angel. John, his beloved, bore witness to the word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things he saw. So in verse 1, it tells us this is a prophetic book. In verse 2, it tells us this is a pictorial book, because John is writing of all the things he saw, which reinforces that this is a pictorial book. Moving on to verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. This is a prophetic anticipation of Revelation. When John wrote this book, it was later than it ever had been. And I want to spend just a minute here. It is later than it ever has been. The coming of Jesus Christ is closer than it ever has been.
Now, here's Dr. Davis with today's lesson, The Beautiful Jesus.
Hello, I'm Dr. Cheryl Davis, and thank you for joining Truth Matters as we begin our journey through the book of Revelation. John gets into a very deep description of what Christ appeared to be in 13 through 16. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass as it is refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Let's get to the clothing of Jesus. First, he's clothed in a garment or a robe, which speaks of his greatness. But we find that description in Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. John also describes a golden girdle, which speaks of Jesus's righteousness. That is described in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 5. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Notice he no longer girds himself with a towel as a servant, which he does in the New Testament. Jesus came as a suffering servant in the New Testament, but will return as a reigning king in the book of Revelation. But we see in John 13, 4 through 5, Jesus rose from supper and laid himself his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. He was girded with a towel in the New Testament, but here in Revelation, we see he's now girded with the righteousness of a king. John describes his head and hair. The whiteness of his hair speaks to his eternity or his duration. Jesus appears in absolute holiness. His whiteness symbols the purity of judgment. And we find that in Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 through 13. I watched till thrones were put in place and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were open. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched that the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. And as for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. John focused on his eyes and described them like flames of fire, penetrating the deepest part of the soul. And really, nothing is hidden from the gaze of our God. His eyes are described in Psalms chapter 11, verse 4. The Lord in his holy temple, the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. If we turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, this really puts into context when Christians tried to hide sin under the cover of darkness, but knowing that God has an all-seeing eye. John describes his feet. Brass in the Bible always speaks of judgment. The feet of brass symbolizes the time when Christ will put all his enemies under his feet in judgment. The feet of the one who brought the gospel is mentioned in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. If we turn to Isaiah 52, verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, the scripture is quoted again. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. The feet of the one who brought the gospel is now the feet of the judge of those who rejected the gospel. I'm going to say that one more time. This is the contrast between the suffering lamb that came the first time and how Jesus will return as a righteous king. The feet of the one who brought the gospel is now the feet of the judge of those who rejected the gospel. John also describes his mouth and the sound of his voice. There are two aspects here, the sound of his voice as well as the content of his voice. The sound of his voice is like the roaring of many waters. This signifies the power and far-reaching impact of the voice of Jesus. We see that in Psalms chapter 29, verse 4 also. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord is also mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 2. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. His voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. The voice of the Lord will be the voice of judgment that will be heard around the world. What he will say is what is most important, which gets us to the content of his voice. John sees a sharp two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. The sword obviously is the word of God, and we find that in Ephesians as well as Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God, or the sword of the Spirit, is God's ultimate weapon. The sword will ultimately be used to judge the nations. And we find this again in Revelations chapter 19, verse 15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And in verse 21, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the earth. John also describes his hands. In verse 16, and he had in his right hand seven stars. His right hand speaks of his lordship, his control and authority. The seven stars are the messengers of the seven churches, angels sent to preach to the seven churches. Preachers sent by God are held in the place of authority by the Lord Jesus Christ, his right hand. John describes his face. John saw his face on the Mount of Transfiguration, and we know that in Matthew chapter 17, verse 2. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. His face appears now as it did that day, shining like the sun. Let's move on to verses 17 through 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. John had the same reaction as Daniel did. He fell at his feet as dead. Jesus touched him with his right hand. First, he says, fear not. I am the eternal God. I am the first and the last. He said, fear not. I am the resurrected Christ. I am he who lives and was dead and am alive forevermore. Fear not. I have the keys of death and Hades. Human destiny is in the hands of God. John had no reason to fear. And in verses 19 through 20, write the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which will take place. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. This is the outline in verse 19, as it's telling John to outline the book, outline the things which you have seen, which is the manifest glory of Christ, outline the things which are, which is the message to the seven churches that we'll cover in chapters 2 and 3, and the things which will take place, which is the future events of chapters 14 through 22. The Holy Spirit himself reveals the mystery behind the symbols in verse 20, saying that the seven stars which you saw in the right hand of God and the seven golden lampstands, the stars are the angels of the seven churches, or the preachers that are sent to these seven churches, and the seven lampstands which we saw are the seven churches. So this summarizes chapter 1, which is really a preface to the book of Revelation in verses 1 through 8. And then it begins with a vision of the Son of Man that John experienced in 9 through 18, which we see his majesty. We see him coming back as a glorified king. Jesus looks very different than the suffering Christ that came in the New Testament. So I look forward to continuing through the book of Revelation. Next time, we'll begin with a message to the churches, and we'll start with the church of Ephesus. Until next time.
In 1978, the late gospel songwriter Andre Crouch wrote and recorded the song Soon and Very Soon. It says perfectly what Dr. Davis has stated today in her lesson, that the coming of Jesus is getting closer and closer every day. When Crouch wrote the song, he was inspired by the words of Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Soon, the curtains of the old order will be pulled down for every eye to see as Jesus appears on earth, bringing into existence a new order, an order of love, peace, goodness, and righteousness that will last for eternity. No longer will God's people suffer and die, but shall live in the light of the glory of God for eternity. If you would like to be a part of this glorious new life when Jesus returns, but you're not sure of your standing with the Lord today, then please take a moment and pray. If you need help, please contact the Truth Team by email at CherylDavis@ProjectTruthMatters.com or write to her at Truth Matters, P.O. Box 159, St. Paul's, North Carolina, 28384. Please email or write today because the return of Jesus is getting closer every day. Truth Matters with Dr. Cheryl Davis is a ministry of the Truth Project.